Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang. So now it's time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live. And it's Team Radio Sai's Ganesh, and along with me is Brother Bhargav to take you along to one more new episode of the Veera Jignasa. Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So without any further delay, we shall start today's class with the Ganapati Prarthana. But before that, we shall all collectively offer our most humble and prayerful salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and with a prayer in our heart that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall commence today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पतान शृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनं प्रणो देवी सरस्वती वाजेभिर्वाजिनीवती धीनामवित्र्यवतु गणेशाय नमः सरस्वत्यै नमः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ
सुभार्गव कंटिन्यूइंग आर journey from I to we to he, going through the verses and the stanzas of the Narayana Upanishad.
Yes.
We were trying to explore the Shanti Mantra.
Yes.
That is like a prelude to the entire Narayana Upanishad. And this Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, which consists of five major aspects.
Yes.
Of which the first one is the prayatna or the effort of the disciple. The second one is the acquisition of the medha shakti by the grace of guru. The third one is the amicable relationship between the guru and the shishya. And the fourth one is the acquisition of jnana.
Knowledge. Means not intuitive knowledge. Knowledge which we say, okay, this something which you acquire from your guru. It's not something which you practically experience.
Yes, that knowledge wherein your ignorance is dispelled and then you know what is the right direction.
Yes.
These are the aspects that we had covered.
Till now.
So now that all these steps have been crossed, the final goal, that is the acquisition of the jnana phalam or the fruition of the knowledge that you have acquired.
Ganesh, before that, even probably our listeners will have this doubt that we are not going into the mantra proper, Narayana Upanishad. We are spending so much time on the Shanti Mantra, and actually the way you are telling, the way we are discussing, it is like you are already, the whole journey is over. So what is the point of even going into Narayana Upanishad proper at all? You know, because you started with prayatnam and you're telling fruition of knowledge, so everything is over. What is the fun in going into the mantra at all? So this doubt definitely our listeners will have. So to dispel that doubt, we thought that the very important thing is whenever you go and try to receive something which is very special, your cup should be empty.
Yeah? Yes.
That's what they say. There's a beautiful Zen story for this, that once a very wealthy man goes to a Zen master. He thinks that now I have achieved everything, all success, all wealth, all power, whatever I need, I have all at my disposal now. So now let me go and try to get wisdom which will make me more happy. So he goes to the Zen master, and then the Zen master makes him sit next to him, and then just starts pouring tea into a cup from a pot. And then this so-called disciple, the would-be disciple, the wealthy man will be sitting next to him down. He will be looking at the master pouring the tea, and the cup starts becoming half full, then three-fourths full. Even then the master doesn't stop. He keeps pouring it. The tea spills over, it goes onto the table, it goes onto the cloth and goes onto the floor. And then this this wealthy man is not able to control himself, and he just yells, "What is this, master? What are you doing? The cup is overflowing, and then it's spilled all over the place. It's fallen on the ground also." So after this, the Zen master smiles at this wealthy man and says, "See, that's what I'm telling you. I'm trying to give you a message, a very important message. When you come here, you have come with your cup overflowing with so many different things. If you don't make it empty, how can you expect me to pour any teachings into it or make you understand what is the depth and the intricacy of this thing called jnanam?" So Ganesh, I think this little endeavor from our side is to make ourselves ready so that we go and actually get ready to get that knowledge or get that wisdom and get that the wisdom of the tea into our cups. So probably, anywhere also, if you see our Vedic mantras also, anywhere you see, generally have a Shanti mantra in the beginning, which actually calms your mind and, makes you more peaceful, more amicable to receive, deservedness to receive a gift which is in store when we start chanting the mantra. So I think that's what we thought, and, we have spent already 4 episodes the Shanti mantra
and
itself.
This is the fifth episode
of it. So with the promise that we're going to finish it this episode, and then we'll go into proper Narayan Upanishad.
Yes.
So okay, just coming to the Jnanaphalam part, what are the insights, Ganesh, in this?
Actually, when we are when we have crossed all these 4 steps and about to get the fruit of the knowledge that we have acquired, there is something that comes in between the success and us.
Okay.
Swami always tells that the only thing that stands in between you and me is your ego.
Yeah.
So there are some particular qualities which has been mentioned even by the Gitacharya in Bhagavad Gita, that these asuric tendencies or the asuri sampatti, what they call, block us from reaching the goal.
The fruition of knowledge.
Fruition of knowledge. So, what are those aspects that we need to ponder upon, and we should be very, very careful and be aware of not allowing those tendencies to affect us.
Okay.
So, I think what not to do is more important than what to do.
Yes.
So, today we will dwell a little bit on this, the Asuri Sampatti, which stands like an obstacle in between us and achieving the Jnanaphalam.
Okay.
So what are those? Now, I think it would be nice if we can go through the Bhagavad Gita shloka.
Shloka itself.
Shloka itself, to make things more clear for us.
Yeah, the shloka goes like this, Ganesh. Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodha paryushyamevacha ajnanam chabhijatasya partha sampadasurim. Means dambha, that is hypocrisy, darpaha, that is arrogance, abhimanaha, that is conceit, and krodha, anger, and parushyam is harshness in speech, and finally ignorance. These are the ones, if someone possesses, they are considered as one who possesses the demonic qualities. So this is something which we have to avoid when we are on the path to understand or learn to get the fruit of knowledge, the Jnanaphalam. So these are the ones which actually stand in front of us, obstructing us from getting the fall of the fruit of our Jnanam.
Correct.
So in this, any examples which can actually throw some clearer light on this?
Actually, these are the tendencies that bring us away from God, take us away from God, because when we as students have tried to offer so many things to Swami in our own capacities, at some point of time, Swami gives us such a big rope for all of us that our ego, our pride, and all these tendencies overpower us and try to push us on a back footing. So then Swami takes that opportunity to teach us the lesson that no, you should always be grounded in whatever stage of life you are. You should always be very humble. That is what will make you close to God, take you close to God. And one beautiful example from one of our senior brothers, he shares with us, God is Ganalola, Sai is Ganapriya.
Yes.
So this student who was the beloved of Swami, in the field of music, who used to make Swami so happy through his singing, shares one beautiful incident where one of these factors or one of these tendencies took him away from Swami.
And how beautifully Swami got him back.
Yes, yeah. How lovingly Swami corrects him and tells him that no, this is not the way. As we had learnt in the previous episode, that when you are acquiring jnana, God or Guru always takes you towards the right destination, and he clears the ignorance in your mind.
Correct.
So this is one such experience wherein this elder brother has been corrected by Swami and shown the right direction. I think we'll listen to the experience of this brother.
One of the things which I would like to narrate, which left an indelible impact on me, and even today when I think about it, I really feel so thrilled, you know. You know, whenever there used to be a lot of VIPs and big people coming to Vrindavan for Swami's darshan, and Swami used to call me and a few of us, and I was asked to sing a bhajan, Allahu Akbar. And that bhajan almost became my patent sort of thing. Like, whoever would come, any big shot would come, whenever there was a type of festivity there, Swami would tell me Allah.
The alap or the bhajan?
The bhajan. Ram Hari Hari Naam Bolo, that Naam Hari Hari Naam Bolo.
Along with that alap?
Along with that alap. So, it became such a ritual that boys would tell me beforehand that, hey, for today it's only Allah, man, today, because Govind Narayan, governor, has come, or Srimati M.S. Subbalakshmi, or whoever, you know, some big person has come. So you have to sing Allahu Akbar. And I would have sung that Allahu Akbar over 5 years. Oh. I sang it so many times that I almost started wishing that I wish Swami would allow me to sing some other bhajan also, because to show off, you know. Although our level of proficiency in music was so low, but even then, a human desire, you know, unabated, I wanted to just show off, and then ostentatiously I wanted to sing some other bhajan. And all of a sudden, that was my final year graduation, he stopped asking me to sing Allahu Akbar. No communication, he would allow me to sing any other bhajan. Like, so many VIPs came and went away, and then he wouldn't ask me, and out of my ego, I wouldn't dare to sing that Allahu Akbar. I thought that I have to sing only when prodded by divinity. When Swami would ask me to sing, then only I have to sing that song. So I would sing any other bhajan and then go. Then I started really feeling so bad about it, that Swami, I wish you would allow me to, you would ask me to sing Allahu Akbar once at least. And I was almost on the threshold of Vrindavan, completing my graduation. And then life was very uncertain after that. We wouldn't know whether I would gain admission in the Sathya Sai University. So it had just come up in Prashantinilam, started in Prashantinilam. So I started really wishing and praying, Swami, Allahu Akbar once. And it never happened. And it was May 6th, around May 4th, I blindly asked Mr. C. Srinivas, who was a warden, sir, will you kindly pray to Bhagwan to allow me to come to Prashantinilam for Ishwarama Divas. Though it never used to be a scheduled program for students to visit Prashantinilam during Ishwarama Divas. But then suddenly he told me that Swami has allowed you to come. And then an announcement was made that students can write letters, and Sonam is going tomorrow, he'll take the letters. And I felt so, you know, important, that look, I am taking like a doot, you know, like an ambassador, I'm taking everyone's letters to Prashantinilam. So I took the letters and reached Prashantinilam, sat right in the front. When Swami came out, I expected him to just look at me and say, smile at me and say, puro chao and all that, you know. And he just ignored me and went out for darshan. And just like an ignoramus again, I thought maybe when he comes back, he didn't see me properly. So when he comes back again, I'll just shake my head and somehow I'll crane my neck and show him that I'm sitting here. I did all that, he just ignored me and went inside. And I was really a mass of misery and nothing else. So I just entered the bhajan hall for singing bhajan. At least I didn't want to miss that chance. sat there, and Swami came and sat on the divine throne and looked at me and said, Allah. And in all my 5 years, I never sang Allahu Akbar like that. I just cried out and I couldn't sing. It was all crying and sobbing and no singing at all. And luckily, the microphone was not there in the morning. Even had it been there, I couldn't care a bit about it. And then soon after Mangal Aarti, he just caught my hand and pulled me from there itself, from that door. He took me to the interview room. And the moment he closed the interview room door, he looked at me and said, Kai ko itna ego karta hai? Kai ko itna ego karta hai? Then he almost read aloud, you know, my thought process that had occurred since the previous day. The moment you came to know that I have called you, how did you feel? And then when you came here, how did you feel? You thought that I didn't see you. Maybe I didn't see you. Where am I? I see everything. Then he told me, itna ego nahi karna. It's very bad. You will hurt yourself, he said. So that was one small incident, very much, you know, connected through music, through Allahu Akbar.
So Bhargav, having listened to Sonam brother, the ego which had overpowered him, took him away from Swami, and how lovingly Swami teaches him that, no, you should always be very humble. So however great you become, this is what you need to learn.
Correct. So beautifully Swami brings him back, and you know how Swami catches him by his hand and takes him inside. You know, Swami always says, always walk with me. So the way he catches him and takes him inside the interview room and tells him, Endukinte ego? Why you have so much of ego? So, like, anyone will get melted, you know, whatever those feelings will just vaporize. That's such a nice experience of Sonam brother. So now I think with this, we are coming out of the Shanti Mantra and going into the Narada Upanishad proper. So before starting Narada Upanishad, you know, the whole Narada Upanishad which comes, Atha Purusho Havai Narayano Kamayata Prajasujayati, means the whole thing, the whole universe, the way it comes, has emerged out of Narayana and then goes back into Narayana. It's like the undercurrent of the whole mantra is molded in that fashion. So anything which actually gives a very nice feel of this particular aspect of Narayana and some similarity of that with Swami, if we can have a nice experience and then start the mantra, I think it'll be
exactly. And one beautiful thing that we are going to learn in this process is, as Swami so lovingly gives the experience and the teaching to the students or the devotees, simultaneously this particular aspect of the last aspect which we have seen, that removal of ego, pride, hypocrisy, all these aspects come into picture. So we should be very aware of what is that Swami is trying to teach us.
Correct.
So step by step, as we go through these experiences and try to elaborate on this mantra, we will in the process try to remove these aspects in our mind.
Yes.
So that in our day-to-day life, at every step of our sadhana, we keep reminding ourselves that these are not the tendencies that I have to develop.
Yeah.
But these are the ones that I have to nurture. So that discrimination power we will try to inculcate. So Bhargav, once we understand what are the demonic qualities that we need to dispel from our beings, and what are the right things or the virtues that we need to develop, inculcate, or the Daivi Sampatti that we need to inculcate, I think Gitacharya gives a very beautiful description in the first sloka of the 16th chapter.
First three slokas actually. And it's so elaborate, Ganesh, that you know, you can get everything in that. Whatever you can look out for in good qualities, Lord Krishna has mentioned it perfectly.
I think through the Narayana Upanishad, we shall keep in mind both the Asuri Sampatti and the Daivi Sampatti in mind, so that we need to discriminate between both.
Yes. So the first three shlokas of chapter 16, Daivasa Sampatti Vibhaga Yogam, in that this is how it goes.
Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhihi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi Danam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyayas Tapa Arjavam Ahimsa Satyamakrodha త్యాగః శాంతిరపైశునం దయాభూతేష్వలోలుప్త్వం మార్దవం హ్రీరచాపలం తేజః క్షమా ధృతిః శౌచమత్రోః నాతిమానిత భవంతి సంపదం దైవీమభిజాతస్య భారత.
సో గణేష్, ఐ థింక్ ద హోల్ థింగ్ హెస్ బీన్ సో ఎలాబొరేట్లీ మెన్షన్డ్ వాట్ ఆల్ థింగ్స్ వీ నీడ్ టు ఇన్కల్కేట్. సో ఫస్ట్ ఈజ్ అభయం, ఫియర్లెస్నెస్, సత్వ సంశుద్ధి, ప్యూరిటీ ఆఫ్ మైండ్, సత్వ సంశుద్ధి, ఎస్, జ్ఞానం ఈజ్ నాలెడ్జ్, యోగా ఈజ్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్, వ్యవస్థిత ఈజ్ షెస్టెడ్ ఫాస్ట్నెస్ ఇన్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వీ గేమ్. వ్యవస్థితి మీన్స్ స్టెడ్ ఫాస్ట్నెస్. యునో ద ఫోర్త్ శ్లోక విచ్ వీ డిడ్ ఇన్ అవర్ శాంతి మంత్ర, ద ఫిఫ్త్ శ్లోక, ద స్టెడ్ ఫాస్ట్నెస్ ఈజ్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. యూనో వీ నీడ్ టు బీ స్టెడ్ ఫాస్ట్ ఇన్ వాట్ వీఆర్ డూయింగ్, దెన్ ఓన్లీ విల్ గెట్ ద జ్ఞాన ఫలం. దెన్ దానం, చారిటీ, దమహ, కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్, యజ్ఞం, పెర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ సాక్రిఫైస్. సాక్రిఫైస్ ప్రాబబ్లీ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ అ ఫిజికల్ సాక్రిఫైస్ లైక్ హౌ స్వామి సేస్, ఆఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎట్ ద ఆల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, వాట్ ఎవర్ karma we do every day. And then swadhyaya, very important, study of sacred books. Then tapaha, austerity, arjavam, straightforwardness, ahimsa, non-violence, satyam, truthfulness, akrodhaha, absence of anger, tyagaha, renunciation, shantihi, peacefulness, apaishunam, restraint from fault finding, daya, compassion, bhuteshu, to all the living beings. It doesn't end here. We have a long, long list, Ganesh. Aloluptvam means absence of covetousness. Means should not try to covet anyone else's property. Mardavam, gentleness. Hrihi, modesty. Achapalam, lack of fickleness. Tejaha, vigor. Kshama, forgiveness. Dhitihi, fortitude. Shaucham, cleanliness. Adrohaha, bearing enmity towards none. And atimanita, absence of vanity. So these are all the daivi sampats which we have to inculcate to, you know, to shun those demonic qualities which we just mentioned.
I think our entire lifetime is not enough to acquire these qualities, because every moment in our life we should be so focused and so engrossed in developing these virtues that the entire life becomes a penance.
No, but I think, Ganesh, one more thing. You know, Swami has given a small hint in this, that, you know, when you pick up a very basic of these five qualities, Swami says satya, dharma, shanti, prema, ahimsa. Mainly Swami talks about prema, love. I think when you pick up any one of them and actually follow it to the core, is it not that everything else will just get added on to you?
Exactly.
That's what beauty of Swami's teachings are. If you just go with satya and then just follow it to the core, means to in your thought, word and deed, every moment, every second of your life, every breath of your life, I think probably all these things will automatically get added unto you. So that's again when Swami makes it so simple when he gives all these teachings. Yeah, but yeah, I agree, it's such a long list. So I think after this, now, as you told, the differentiation between what is good, what is daivi, what is asuri. Now we can go into the Narayana Upanishad and then see it in this light. Okay, what is it that we can develop and what we should shun? So before starting the Upanishad, any thoughts on it?
I'm just reminded of a simile, actually. When we are about to enter a temple, we are always asked to wash our feet before we enter the Sanctum Sanctorum. So I think the chanting and the learning of the meaning of the Shanti Mantra has actually allowed us to cleanse our feet and enter into the Sanctum Sanctorum of the Narayana Upanishad,
so
which is the core.
Yeah.
Before we commence the Narayana Upanishad,
you know what, I can probably add to the simile a little more.
Yes.
You know, you go to a temple where there is just a river next to it. So they say first take bath in the river, purify yourself and then go into the Sanctum Sanctorum. So probably, I think the way we have covered the Shanti Mantra, we have actually taken a bath, a ceremonial proper bath to purify ourselves.
Yes.
And then we are entering, I think.
So before we know about the details of the Narayana Upanishad, we shall know about Narayana himself.
Yeah.
So Swami has so very lovingly in so many instances and so many experiences showed his divinity, who exactly he is. And one such glimpse of Bhagwan's divinity is shown to a student who actually in the previous point where he was feeling egoistic or he was feeling the quality of pride which was developing in him, and how Swami revealed his reality, revealed his divinity to him, which will make the road clear for all of us to go to the Narayana Upanishad mantra. So we shall listen to Brother Naveen Patel and his experience.
One evening I was doing this path seva. Swami was in the bed, and this bed is beautiful bed. It's sort of an oval shaped bed, and it's like a Krishna and this cobra with seven heads, or one of nine heads, whatever you call it. That sort of bed that's been created for Swami. And Swami's lying on this bed, and I'm slowly massaging Swami's feet. Swami says, "Ami samacha," so keep quiet, and Swami start talking about him. So those days Swami used to eat pan, what we call in Hindi or Indian languages. There used to be a silver rectangular box. In this box, rectangle strips of pan or betel nut would be cut and left in there, nicely tidied up. In another small compartment, there would be a bit of betel nut, sopari. And in another third compartment, there will be chuna. It's a white chalk powder. Swami would pick up this betel leaf, roll it, put it in his mouth, put few nuts, betel nuts in there. Before he rolls it, Swami would apply a bit of chuna, the chalky powder in there, or paste, and then put it in his mouth. So this day again, Swami was doing this thing. So he shows me and says, "This leaf that was there, what is this?" I said, "Swami, leaf." So then Swami slowly starts cutting an oval shape. So, and then shows to me and says, "What is it?" I said, "Swami, still leaf, but in an oval shape." Good. Then he takes the leaf, that oval shape leaf, and then blows on top of it. That leaf becomes a small locket. It's a hard enameled locket. And on this locket, the figure that you see is Krishna or something like that. And then he shows it to me. And he says, "So what is this?" I said, "Swami, Krishna." Then he blows again on Rama. And different facets of the God. Shows me Jesus Christ as well. Every time he blows, changes and shows it to me and says, "What is this now?" Just at that time, Kasturiji walks into the room. Remember, just conversation between myself and Swami. Nobody else there. Kasturiji walks in. Those days, anything to be done in Pishandinaya, it must have Swami's explicit permission. If a chair needs to be moved, unless Swami is told, you cannot move that. It was that strict. So there must be some sort of a work that needed to be done in Pishandinaya. Kasturiji came to inform Swami, take his permission. Swami says, "Yeah, go and whatever." He was told, given instructions. And at this point, battalion was still going on, was still in Swami's head. And he left it with me then. So I thought to myself, great. This is the opportunity I'm going to get, and that is going to be mine. I can show it to everybody how great a devotee I am now. You know, this is what I've got. Yeah, this is how mind starts playing tricks on me. I've got something for Swami. Because all of us want to show or feel that I've got something from Swami. That's how I felt. I've got something now. And that is definitely for me. Kasturiji goes away. And then Swami again turns to this medallion. meeting. So then he blows on it, and it turns out that that medallion, this locket, has got all the different facets of God in there. And on one side there is Satya Sai in the Vedas, and the other side there is Shirdi Sai. So you got Ganesha with other facets of God. And later on I learned that that was the Virata Swarupa of Bhagavan. And Virata Swarupa is not shown to everybody. Rishis, they go to Himalayas, do penance for years and years to achieve that. And here is God showing me the Virat Swarupa. And he's showing it to me. I says, so what is this? So I say, because I'd seen something like that, I said, that's what it is. Puts it straight into his mouth. I said, that's where. That is him. The God now.
So Bhargav, after listening to Naveen Patel sir's experience of Swami creating that locket and again taken back into him, It's very obvious that he is that Virat Purusha. From him everything emerges, and unto him everything merges back into him. So then with these amazing stories, amazing experiences, we are starting the Narayana Upanishad.
Yes.
So at the back of the mind, having the beautiful form of the Lord and parallelly describing the entire form of God, yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasaha, It's our great good fortune that we are able to try to taste that bit of that nectar of the divine.
Yes. So without any delay, should we just go and start chanting? And probably today we'll just try to get the word by word meaning. And then next week we'll try to dwell a little more deeper into every facet of this particular mantra, you know. And then what a better way to start when Naveen Patel sir told that everything emerges from him and merges back to him. So Narayanath, everything comes from Narayana, and then everything goes back into Narayana is how it starts. The first stanza is like that only. Let's see how. Let us chant it.
Om Atha Purusho Havai Narayano Kamayata Praja Srujeyeti Narayanat Prano Jayate Manas Sarvendriyani Cha Kham Vayurjyotirapah Prithivi Vishvasya Dharini Narayanat Brahma Jayate Narayanat Rudro Jayate Narayanat Indro Jayate Narayanat Prajapatayah Prajayante Narayanat Dvadashaditya Rudravasavah Sarvani Cha Chanda Gumsi Narayanat Deva Samutpadyante Narayane Pravartante Narayane Praliyante.
So if you just go to the meaning of this Ganesh, it says from that very sound Om, you know, from where the whole thing has emerged. Swami also says that Omkaram is the basis of all creation. From there the Supreme Being came out, and out of his own desire, Kamayata Praja Sujayeti, and then he created this whole iti, this whole thing was created by him. And then after that, he just, the description goes that what all was created, Kham Vayur Jyotirapah Prithivi Vishvasya Dharini. So it is Kham Vayur Jyotirapah Prithivi. So all the five elements are created.
The space, wind, fire, water and earth.
And then before that, manas sarve indriyani cha. So even the mind and all the indriyas, I think we'll take it next week, you know, with a beautiful discourse of Swami, who actually, when Swami explains all these things in so much of detail, we'll take it next week. So then these are the five elements which, you know, this is, they say the subtlest is the akasha, the ether. So that ether comes from the most, you know, I can say the one which is, yeah, as you told, yato vacho nivartante, which cannot be even reached by any of our faculties. Mm. That is God. From there emerges the akasha. From the akasha, the little more grosser is...
So attributes keep getting added to each element.
Like we say, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. So shabda is akasha, sparsha is vayu, rupa means you first time you see a form in fire, rasa, that is water, and gandha, that is earth. So all the five are there in the earth. So the grossest is the earth. So all the five in that order come out of Narayana. You know, we had the same thing, we have the same thing, we chant every Saturday, our Anandavalli. Hmm. Anandavalli also the same thing comes.
Akashad vayuhu vayu ragnihi agnirapaha adhyat prithivi prithivya oshadhayaha oshadibhyonam annat purushaha.
So how we, like the way we are born, the whole cycle, the, from the Parabrahman, from the Narayana, how we have emerged, that whole thing also, that full process is also described there. So this is how, you know, the creation with these five elements come. And then it goes on to tell that how even Brahma, the creator, is born out of Narayana. Here actually, Ganesh, this, we always encounter one small doubt in many of our listeners, that when you say Brahma, you write as ha and half ha and ma, so it should be Brahma, but we generally pronounce it as Brahma. So anything on that, how it is? I think one of the things which I feel is that the way it is pronounced is the Anunasika, the last one which comes. Mm. That should always be chanted first. Mm. The sound should come first and the ha should come later.
So when we talk about vanhi, when the script is being written, it is written as ha within half na.
Na inside.
But when it is chanted as vanhi.
Vanhi. In the same way it is, you can read it as, when you read it in the script, it's Brahma. Mm. But when you chant, it's Brahma. Mm. So this is, I think, one doubt which all of us had. That's one thing. And then, so Brahma Jayate. So Brahma is also born out of Narayana.
Mm.
You know, we had mentioned this earlier also, Narayanath means Panchama Vibhakti, mm, separation from Narayana.
From him.
From him. Mm. So something which separates from Narayana is Brahma in this case. Narayana Rudro Jayate. So even the Rudra, the one who is a destroyer, or the one who annihilates the creation, that also is born out of Narayana.
Then Narayanat Prajapatayah Prajayante means the progenitors of all creatures.
Mm.
And then
Indra also.
Mm, Prajayante. They were all born. Mm. So all these elements come out of that Purusha, Virat Purusha. And then Narayanat Dwadashaditya, the 12 Adityas, the list of which we'll be covering it in the subsequent episodes. And then Narayana
Varisaritya Rudra.
The five Jnanendriyas and the five Karmendriyas plus the mind.
Yeah.
All the 11 Rudras are also a part of that.
Otherwise also, we will also take up what are Rudras and what are the different names and different aspects. That also will be interesting. We'll take it up also.
Vasavaha, the 8 treasures.
Yeah.
Ashtavasus.
One of them is supposed to be Bhishma.
And then Sarvani, everything emerges from him. Or
Chanda.
And then Chanda, all meters, all sounds emerge from him. Narayanat Eva Samutpadyante, they are all equally outpoured from that Virat Purusha. And then Narayane Pravartante, they all manifest, and then everything is processed.
Or
him.
Everything is, you know, Sthiti, means the one which
sustenance.
Sustenance and taken care only by Narayana.
And then finally, Narayane Pradiyante, and merges back into him.
Like how Swami took that medallion.
Yes.
Took it back into his mouth and told, I am Narayana. So matter of fact, he told so beautifully.
Actually, one beautiful incident I remember, Bhargav. I don't know whether you remember this or not.
Mm-hmm.
On one Shivaratri, Swami had called Anil Kumar sir That year, I think Swami created two lingams, one big lingam and one more small lingam.
Mm.
And then Swami was showing it to everyone. Swami called
Anil Kumar. Lingodbhavam.
Yes, Lingodbhavam. And then Swami explained the concept of Hiranyagarbha, everything. Swami called Anil Kumar sir, and to the utter astonishment of everyone, Swami just swallowed that lingam.
Back.
Back. And the way Anil Kumar sir was like shell-shocked after seeing that, with how much of difficulty Swami had got out that lingam, with that much ease, Swami had merged it back into him. That was like everybody was stunned to see that.
So means this is exactly what he is was trying to exhibit to us, that Narayane Pravartante, Narayane Praliyante, Narayane Samutpadyante. Everything comes out from him, everything is sustained
by him.
Everything merges back in him. So beautiful.
So I think these aspects we shall try to deal in the subsequent episodes. And in the next episode, specifically we'll be listening to Swami, how this entire creation has taken place.
Yeah.
And we shall listen more to Swami in the next episode. So with these few words, we shall bring this episode to a close. And we do request the listeners to write in their feedback and ideas to listener@ssmediacenter.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. So with a prayer in our hearts that every thought, word and deed is his inspiration, we shall end this episode with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram.
Om. यदक्षरपदभ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद्भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोऽस्तु ते विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निषन्मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष सा ईश्वरा हरिः ओं तत्सत् श्रीसाईश्वरार्पण Namastu.
From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the Telugu live segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandeshwari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.